Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. I want to give you something to think about this morning. I want to give you one thing to think about. I want to give you a lot of things to think about. I want to give you something to think about to get your minds off of everything else. Amen? Man, we need to get our minds off of everything else, don't we? Right? Let me just say this. God is not the author of confusion, folks. He's not given us a spirit of fear. But the Bible tells us He wants us to get our minds on something else. And boy, I tell you what, in these days in which we live, we sure do need to get our minds and our hearts and our thoughts on something else and everything that's going on around us. Amen? 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 Amen. All right, so Colossians chapter 3 this morning. You know what I want to talk to you about today? You know what I want to... You know what? Listen, let me give you my 3 points. God wants you to think about something. Jesus wants you to think about something. And the Bible wants you to think about something. Now, if God wants you to think about something, and Jesus wants you to think about something, the Bible wants you to think about something, I think it's something we ought to think about. Amen? Amen. So let's look what it says in Colossians chapter 3. Paul says this, if there it starts, so it's for a certain group of people, if ye then be risen with Christ. So it's for Christians. We're talking to Christians this morning, right? Are you saved this morning? Are you going to be saved tomorrow? Are you going to be saved the next? Hey, man. All right. So it's for Christians. All right. It's for us. All right. This is good stuff. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things of the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with Him in glory. I want to encourage you this morning to start thinking about something that God wants us to start thinking about more than ever before, and it's heaven. It's heaven. You know, you just stop at it. There's a saying that's out there that is just flat out wrong. And the saying is this, you can be too heavenly minded and no earthly good. Hey, that's just false, folks. That's just absolutely contrary to the Bible. You can't be too heavenly minded. And if you are heavenly minded, you will be more than earthly good. You'll be eternally profitable. I mean, just stop and think of the life of Paul for a moment. Can you imagine Paul, and if someone came up to him and said, you know, there's folks that are too heavenly minded and they're just no earthly good. He would have put his hand up in the air and said, stop! Hold on a second. Let me tell you about someone that was heavenly minded and how it changed my life. He would say, I was a young man about 30 years old and I had gone through life a religious person, but hating Christ and hating Christians and persecuting the church. And all of a sudden, one day, he says, I was standing there and there was a man that made a difference in my life more than anybody else apart from the Lord Jesus Christ later on. And he says, this man's name was Stephen. And this man, Stephen, I mean, we killed him. But before we stoned him, before we killed him, Saul would say this. This man looked steadfastly up into heaven. Do you catch that? Stephen looked steadfastly up into heaven. And Paul would say this. Hey, listen, I heard him. I was there. I was a witness to it all. I was right there. And this man, Stephen, who had his eyes fixed on heaven, who had his eyes steadfastly fixed on heaven, looked up in the heavens, and you know what he saw? He saw Jesus. He saw the glory of God, and he saw Jesus standing on the right hand of God. And Paul says, I'll never forget that day. I'll never forget that day when that man, about to be killed, about to be murdered, about to be violently, just tragically and violently, his life taken from him, looks up steadfastly into heaven and says, I see the glory of God. And I see Jesus standing on the right hand of God. Paul would say, you want to tell me there's someone that's too heavenly minded that they're no earthly good? Don't tell me. He said, because you know what? That man's testimony, what that man saw, what that man said, started to work in my heart to the point where, boy, it was just a short while later that I was on that road to Damascus, and the Lord Jesus Christ, that same one that Stephen saw, that same one that Stephen saw as he looked up steadfastly in heaven, came to me, and I was gloriously saved. You know, Paul would go on to, as we know from the scriptures, Paul would go on to just preach the gospel. You think about that. Just stop and think about that saying. Someone's too heavenly minded, no earthly good. Well, listen, if Stephen wasn't so heavenly minded, would we have 27 books of the New Testament? Think about it. Hey, so Paul starts preaching the gospel. And Paul starts going around to everywhere preaching the gospel. Starts starting churches and just preaching the gospel and sharing his faith, telling people about the Lord Jesus Christ. And it was about 18 years later that Paul would write one of the epistles. And it was the epistle of 1 Thessalonians. And he would write, it was one of the first epistles he would write. But as he had gone around preaching the gospel and starting churches, he wants to write to encourage the believers. So he writes to these new believers. This is a young church. This is an early church. It's a group of new believers. And turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. Because here's what he says. You don't think Paul was thinking more and more and more and more about heaven every day? I tell you what, as I read through the epistles of Paul, on a chronological basis, from his salvation through, man, I tell you, every year, his thoughts about heaven got more and more and more. And so don't ours. For a lot of reasons. But you know, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 10, he says, what are we doing? He says, we're waiting. What are we waiting for? We're waiting for his son from heaven. Look at chapter 4. Look at chapter 4. Listen, he says, comfort one another. Here's our comfort, folks. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words in 1 Thessalonians 4:18. What words? Well, look what it says. Verse 14. If we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with a trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. You know, it doesn't stop there. I mean, Paul just can't stop thinking about it. Go to chapter 5 and verse number 10. Speaking of Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. So Paul writes, all right? Now, Paul writes that when, well, it's about 18 years later after he got saved. So you just stop and think about it. He gets saved. He gets saved because he's convicted by the testimony of Stephen that looks steadfastly in heaven. He begins preaching the gospel. And he says, folks, we got to keep our thoughts, our minds, our eyes upon heaven. Right? So, well, it's about 6 years later that he writes 1 Corinthians. So go to 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians 15. All right, so he writes to the Thessalonians. 6 years later, he writes to the Corinthians. All right, Thessalonians are new Christians. All right, he writes to a new church, new Christians. Now he's writing to Christians that are a mess. Not like us. Yes, just like us. All right, because we're all a mess. And if you don't think you're a mess, go home and look in the mirror. Or go ask someone else. No, don't. But anyways, all right? So now he's speaking to a church that's struggling. I mean, these guys are struggling, folks. They've got a mess on this side, a mess on this side, a mess back here, a mess. I mean, everywhere you turn, there's a mess. That's life, folks. Right? So what does he do? He writes 1 Corinthians. And as he writes to this church, as he goes through and is helping them through their lives as Christians, as a church, he comes to 1 Corinthians 15. And look what he says in verse 57. Thanks be to God, which giveth us victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know your labor is not in vain in the Lord. So he encourages me, he says, listen, keep going, keep striving, keep working, keep serving, keep witnessing, keep going. But you know why? Because there's hope. Because look what he says in verse number 51. Here's why we keep going, because we know there's coming a day. You know, I've been preaching too quiet for a while, haven't I? You knew this was coming. All right, but there's coming a day. Folks, look it. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. Right? Think about this. Man, Paul says, this is, you want to get excited? You want to get encouraged? You want to keep going in your work for the Lord, your service for the Lord, in witnessing for the Lord? Well, get your thoughts on heaven. He says, we're going to be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. There's no doubt about it. No confusion. No ambiguity. We're going to be changed. And so he says that. All right, so that's 6 years later or something. Okay? So now you go 4 years later, go to Philippians. So now he writes to the church at Philippi. Right? Can you see it's getting better and better? I mean, you can see he starts off, he says, we're waiting for his son. Comfort with the truth of the rapture. He says, we're going to live together with him. To the new Christian, he says, hey, there's hope. There's hope. Your hope is in Jesus Christ. He's coming again. Your hope is in Jesus Christ. You're going to live together with him. Eternal life. To the struggling Christian, he says, listen, keep going. I know it's a battle. I know it's a struggle. I know it's a challenge. Keep going. You know why? Because we're going to be raised. We're going to be changed. We're going to live together with him. So now we come to Philippians 4 years later. All right? Look at Philippians. And now a church that's, they're not new Christians. And they're not so much struggling Christians. But man, they're going through persecution. They're going through trials. I mean, Paul's thrown in prison. They're getting persecuted and the world is hating on them. And so look what Paul says. Look at chapter one. Look at verse number 23. Paul says, I'm in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Just stop and think of how much that verse right there says. I'm in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. You know why people get their thoughts on the world? You know why we get attached to the world? Because we aren't attached to heaven. You start thinking about heaven, and guess what? This world will look like a junkyard. You start thinking about the things of heaven, and the things you got will look like rust buckets. Paul says, I got a desire. You know what my desire is? To get out of here and get there as quick as I can. He's now I know the Lord's got something for me, and I got to be patient and wait, like I told the Thessalonians. But he says, it's getting to the point where I can't wait. In fact, turn to Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. All right? Philippians chapter 3, Paul says, you know what? You come up to me, you want to talk to me, here's what we're going to talk about. You want to have a conversation, here's what we're going to converse about. You want to have a discussion, here's what we're going to discuss. Look at verse number 20. Our conversation's in heaven. Our conversation's in heaven. He says, you want to talk about something? I'm not talking about the virus. I'm not talking about the anarchy. I'm not talking about politics. He says, you want to talk to me? Let's talk about something good. Let's talk about heaven for a change. He says, it'll change your life. My conversation, he says, is in heaven. You know why? Because I'm looking for a Savior, Lord Jesus Christ. You know why? Because he's going to change this vile, rotten body. And he's going to fashion it like his glorious body. Wow. Paul says, you know what? He says, I'm waiting patiently, but I can't wait. I got a desire to go because it's going to be far better. And he says, it's all I want to talk about. It's all I want to talk about, Jordan. All I want to talk about is heaven. All I want to talk about, John, is heaven. Because you know what? I'm going. And I can't wait. You know, there's a song the kids sing. Do they still sing it? I'm going to heaven and I can't wait. I'm going to heaven and I can't wait. Right? Man, think about it. So Paul writes, and now after he writes Philippians, he comes to Colossians. And now he comes to Colossians. See how this has progressed? From the moment he gets saved, he starts thinking about heaven. And the longer he's saved, the more he thinks about heaven. The more he thinks about heaven, the more he's looking for heaven. The more he's looking for heaven, the more he's talking about heaven. Guess what? If you're talking about heaven to yourself, you're going to start talking about heaven to everybody else. You ever stop and think? We spend more time warning about hell when the Lord Jesus Christ spent more time talking about heaven. Think about it. Just stop and think about it. Luke 16, yeah, there's one short paragraph, one short passage about what hell is like. But get to the New Testament, get to the last two chapters and read what it's going to be like when where we're going, right? Because I'm not going to get cast into a lake of fire. I'm going to be in the presence of the Lord. And we'll get to Revelation 21 and 22 in a little bit. And I hope you all park down front, because we sure would hate to mess up the parking out back. Because we're going to talk about heaven this morning. So anyways, so now he comes to chapter 3. And he says, if ye then be risen with Christ, all right? If ye be risen with Christ, then here's what you ought to be doing. Here's what we ought to be doing. Look what it says. If, you know the equation. If then, if this, then this, if this, then this, right? You got one potato, you got two potatoes, you put them together and you got potato salad. All right. If then ye be risen with Christ. That's because I can't add. Look what he says. If you're really risen with Christ, then seek, and look what it says. Seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. You know, he doesn't just say seek Christ. He says seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. He says, I want you to seek Christ. But as you seek Christ, where's Christ? He's in heaven. Where's Christ? He's seated on the right hand of God. You seek Christ, and guess what? You're going to be led to seeking the things which are above. And he says, so start seeking it. You know what that word seek means? To search out, to find it. And then he says this, set your affection on what? On things above, not on things of the earth. He says, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand. Set your affection on things above. He says, things, folks, things. Seek those things which are above. Set your affection on things above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Because when you seek Christ, Man, you read Ezekiel about the glory of the Lord. You read Revelation about the Lord. And man, I tell you what, you get excited. And then you start looking around. You start looking around, right? And everywhere you look, it just gets better and better and better. Why? Well, look at verse 3. For ye are dead. Your life is hid with Christ in God. That's why. But then look what he says. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear. Colossians chapter 3. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. And so Paul writes, and Paul says, you know what? Man, we're waiting for the Son. He's coming again. He's delivered us a wrath. He's coming again. We're waiting. He says, we've got to wait with patience. But he says, you know what? Start thinking about it. Because we're going to be changed. That's what keeps us going. That's what keeps us going. You know, many times I think back to people that I've had the privilege of leading to the Lord. And when I stop to think about the people I've had a privilege of leading to the Lord. And by the way, I'm sweating. When I start thinking about people that I've led to the Lord, I start thinking about where they are. You know, I start thinking about this guy named Kenny. Kenny, down at Citywide. Kenny, man, I love Kenny. I remember the day Paul Schwenke preached, Sunday afternoon. Preached on the beggar going to heaven. The rich man going to hell and the beggar going to heaven. And I'll never forget Kenny, man that lived in fear. And I remember after that service, he came up to Paul and me, and he just said, you mean a beggar got to go to heaven? And I said, yeah. And Paul says, yeah, Kenny, a beggar got to go to heaven. He says, I was a beggar. The police in Hartford gave me a hard time because I was begging. I was a beggar. I can go to heaven. We said, Kenny, you can go to heaven if you trust Jesus Christ. And right there that afternoon, he trusted Jesus Christ. You know where he is today? He's not begging on the streets of Hartford. He's not wondering where he's getting his next meal. He's with Jesus in heaven. And I think about Kenny, and I think, wow, wow. Praise God. That's why we preach the gospel. I think about Alberto. Peace and blessings, peace and blessings, peace and blessings. Man, I think about Harold Hayes. I think about all these folks in heaven. Harold, you know, I mean, just stop and think. Harold, always just wanted music, right? Think about how much Harold's enjoying the music of heaven, right? Man, you just go on and on and on and on and on. Paul says, set your affection on things above. Why? Because Christ, who is our life, when he appears, we're going to appear with him in glory. Now, here's the thing. That's just the introduction, by the way. Here's the thing. Oh, we'll go to 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4, all right? Because in 2 Timothy chapter 4, now just a couple years later at the most, all right? Paul says, man, seek those things which are above. Set your affection on things above. Let our conversation be about heaven. And in 2 Timothy chapter 4, all right, Paul says this. You know, he said way back to Philippians, he said, man, I get a desire to depart and be with Christ. It's far better. It's far better. But look at 2 Timothy chapter 4 in verse number 6. He says, for I am now ready. Paul says, I'm ready. I'm ready to go. He says, I know my time is short. He says, I'm ready to go. I'm ready to go. You know, the more you think about heaven, the more you talk about heaven, the more you study heaven, the more ready you'll be to go. The more ready you'll be to go. You'll say, you know what? I don't care about anything down here. Well, no, we do. We have our concerns and our cares. But you know what? You start thinking about heaven, and I tell you, we'll start longing for it, And you say, Lord, I'm ready to go. Paul says, I'm ready to go. But here's the thing, okay? You know what hasn't been written in the Bible yet? Any of the writings of John. Paul writes all of that, and he hasn't even read Revelation. Think about it. Paul's more ready to go to heaven, thinking about heaven much more than anybody else, and he doesn't even have what God has given John. And what do we got? Or what do we have? Sorry. What we ain't got is good English. What we do have is a perfect Bible. Amen? But what do we have? We have much more. And so here's my 3 points. 3 points might be shorter than the whole message. All right? Point number one is God wants you to think about heaven. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. We're going to go back to the writing of Paul. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Listen, God has given you a mind to use. Amen? He's given you eyes to use to read. He's given you a mind to understand. He wants you to look with your eyes, read with your eyes, understand your mind so that it affects your heart. Right? So, because Paul says, set your affection on things above. But look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2. All right? You know, we read this passage of Scripture, but sometimes we don't grasp what it says. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And in my 3 points, there's a word you want to just connect. It's the word prepare. It's the word prepare. You know what the word prepare means? Huh? To make ready. Right. All right. Good job, Linda. All right. To make ready. She didn't even look that up on Google. All right. To make ready. Someone prepares dinner, right? You sit down. Someone's got it all ready. They worked to get it ready, didn't they? The word prepare means to make ready. Right? When we talk about heaven, I want you to think about this. God's getting it ready for you and me. Amen? He's getting it ready. All right? And there's so much. We're not going to go into everything today because we can't. But you know, you just start thinking about it. All right? 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Look what it says. Verse number 9. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither hath entered in the heart of man the things. Oh man, there's that word again, the things. Paul says, seek those things which are above. Set your affection on things above. He says, but you know what? I have not seen, nor ear heard, neither hath entered in the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. We stop there. But look at verse number 10. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Just stop and think. God says, no, your eye hasn't seen, your ear hasn't heard the things that I've prepared for those that love me. He says, but my Spirit wants to reveal them to you so that you can know about them. God says, you know, I guaranteed you an inheritance. Hey, I want you to know about it. I've guaranteed you a future. I want you to know about it. He says, I want you to know about it. So that you can think about it. So that you can set your affection upon it. You know, when you think about heaven, boy, number one, it's a comfort, isn't it, right? It's a comfort. We have loved ones that the Lord takes home. And you know, one of the greatest things that can bring comfort to your soul is when you stop and realize and think. And really start thinking about where they are, right? Where they are. Listen, they're not moping. They're not walking around saying, oh boy. No. They're in the presence of the Lord, fullness of joy. At His right hand, pleasures forevermore. Gives us encouragement, doesn't it? Right? Encouragement. Because there's hope. And that hope is a glorious hope. What a wonderful hope. Man, we're going to heaven. And we'll get to beyond. It gives you strength. Gives you strength to keep going. Hey, it gives you a challenge. Gives you a challenge to tell everybody. But it's a help. It's a help, folks. And Paul says, I'm ready. I'm now ready. But you know what? So number one, God wants you and me to think about it. He says, I've given you the Holy Spirit and I've given you the Word of God so you can start thinking about where you're going. Because you know what? The more we think about where we're going, the more we get excited about where we're going. Right? Man, I was talking with Jared the other day. Jared and me, we were talking. Perkins, we were talking the other day, and man, we're just hoping that this whole thing gets over so we can go to the Big E in September. I mean, we start talking about the Big E and we get excited about it. I mean, we get fired up and we get talking about, you know, I mean, well, food. We get talking about those fried Oreos and those donut burgers, you know, those glazed donuts with a cheeseburger in the middle and bacon on top. And we get, oh man, the other day we just started talking about the Big E and we said, man, we hope they don't cancel that one. Cancel every other fair in the world you want. But whatever you do, don't stop the Big E. Because we want to go. Not so much the rides. But man, just walking around, we're talking about how much money we got. How much we can spend on beef jerky. You know, we go to that booth with all the different types of beef jerky and we sit there. Oh, let me taste that. We come back, let me taste that. We come back, let me taste that. Oh, give me three big packages. By the end of the day, oh, we got to go back, get some more packages. But you know, why don't we think about heaven with that? Right? Why don't we think about heaven like that? We get so excited about the things down here. And you know what? All the good food down here, you get a taste of the food in heaven. And I tell you what, this stuff down here is going to taste like 3-week-old spinach. Oh. Anyways, so God wants you to think about heaven. But check this out. Jesus wants you to think about heaven. God wants you to think about heaven, right? And it'll be a help to you, but it's your hope. But go to John 14, all right? John 14, okay? So this is written, by the way, 2 Timothy 4 is written about 66 A.D. Paul dies. Paul is martyred for his faith a little while after that. All right? Now it's about 20 years later, and John begins to write. John begins to write. And John chapter 14. Pastor Donnie's already been through this, so we'll just touch on it. All right? But you know what? Jesus wants you to think about heaven. But check this out. Here's what I want you to know. I want you to notice two things, two just things in John 14. Let not your heart be troubled. Let not your heart be troubled. You know why? Because there's a heaven above and we're going. Right? Say a little louder, amen. Amen. Hey, say it so the live stream folks can hear you.
Amen.
There you go. All right, you people live stream and say amen at your houses, okay? All right, so anyways, Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am there you may be also. Now I want you to take note of two things this morning. from John chapter 14. Number one is this. Jesus says, I'm going. Go to the Gospel of Luke chapter 24. Luke 24. This is exciting because you know what? This starts to get you thinking about eternity. When Jesus rose from the grave, he wanted them to know something. And it goes on, it leads us to think about heaven. All right? You know, listen, we got these just crazy ideas about heaven. I'm just going to be this little ghost sitting around with a harp. No, you aren't. Uh-uh. Look at Luke chapter 24. Look at Luke chapter. I tell you, as you start thinking about it, man, look at Luke chapter 24, verse 39. Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit hath not flesh and bones as you see me have. When he had thus spoken, he showed them his hands and his feet. While they yet believed not for joy and wondered, he said unto them, have you any meat? And they gave him a piece of a broiled fish and honeycomb, and he took it and did eat before them. And he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms concerning me. Then opened their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. But here's the thing. You know what Jesus wanted them to see? He wanted them to see the reality of the resurrection. Because he wants us to understand the reality of the resurrection with us. He says, touch me. He says, you're going to see the prince in my hands, in my side. He says, he didn't say give me like that. But he says, do you have any fish? He took fish and honeycomb, put it in his mouth, and ate it. You know what? We're going to take place. We're going to be at the marriage supper of the Lamb. We are going to be eating with Christ. Heaven and beyond. I mean, we're going to be resurrected. We're going to be like him. What does Luke 24 say? He took him up to the mountain and he departed into heaven. And the angel said, this same Jesus that stood there, this same Jesus that you touched, this same Jesus that ate bread and ate fish, this same Jesus that has gone up into heaven, guess what? We're going to be changed. Start thinking about the reality of it, right? Start thinking about what it's going to be like. We won't have to social distance while we wait for our food. Amen? Right? So, but you know, there's something else in John chapter 14. When you start thinking about heaven and beyond, a new heaven, new earth, you ever stop to think about the way that it is spoken to us of? In my Father's house are many mansions. You know, because not only is it the reality that this the reality of it, folks, that we're going to be changed. We're going to be like him. And no, can we comprehend it? No. But can we imagine? Sure thing. Can we start to take the truths of God are given to us so that we think about them, meditate them, let them go to our mind and get to our heart. Right? Okay, come on, let's go back to the Big E. I know the Big E sells fried Oreos. Right? That's a truth. Well, hopefully. Hopefully it'll be a truth. If not, I'll start frying them. Jared and I can have fried Oreos at my house. Why do we got to wait for the Big E? But anyways, so you know what? I start thinking about what they're like. You know, you start thinking about heaven,
and you start thinking about it from the truth, listen, everything that's mentioned about heaven and our eternal life and beyond is in terms that are familiar to us. In my Father's house are many mansions. Speaks about a house, speaks about a city, speaks about a garden, speaks about rivers, speaks about roads, speaks about, you know why? Because it's not going to be something strange to us, folks. It's going to be something that is going to be very familiar to us, only much better than what we got now. Right? I mean, it's a home. It's a home, but it ain't like your home. It's God's home. Right? It's a city, but it ain't like any city down here. Man, stop and think about it. All right? So, but look at verse number 2. I go to prepare a place for you. All right? So God says, listen, I've got things prepared for you. I've got things prepared for you. And he says, I want my Holy Spirit to begin to tell you and teach you and guide you so that you think about it, you seek after it, and it grips your heart. But let's go to one more passage of Scripture, because God wants us to think about it. Jesus wants us to think about it. But you know what? You go over a few years later, about 95 AD, and all of a sudden you come to the book of Revelation. And we could spend a lot of time in the book of Revelation. But you know what? You go to Revelation, chapter 4 says, come up hither and I'll show you the things which must shortly be hereafter. And you're in heaven, round the throne of God, and in the presence of Jesus Christ. But then come to Revelation chapter 21. Revelation chapter 21. And boy, I would love... Well, I tell you what, I am going to read it. I'm going to start reading it, Revelation chapter 21. Because you know what? It starts telling us what life is going to be like. I mean, right now, there's heaven. You're in the presence of the Lord. You're around the throne of God. And you're with the saints of God. And you're worshiping at the feet of Jesus Christ. And then, yes, we're going to come back and rule and reign with Jesus for 1,000 years. But then look at Revelation chapter 21. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven. Check this word out. Prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. You know, 3 times in the New Testament, that word just stands out. Jesus said, I'm going to prepare a place for you. God says, I want the Holy Spirit to show you things that I have prepared for you. And then in Revelation chapter 21, I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. A new heaven, a new earth, a new Jerusalem. Hey, that's everything, folks. There ain't nothing else. And look what it says. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. There shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain. For the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne says, behold, I make all things new. And he said to me, write, for these words are true and faithful. He says, the former things are passed away. All those things that gave you all those problems down there. And then from verse 6 all the way down through chapter 22 and verse 6 or verse 7 or somewhere down there, he starts to describe what it's going to be like. And just one part of it, just really the holy city. There's going to be a new heaven, a new earth. And he said, I just want to set your heart on one thing, where Christ will be, where we will come in and out and go in and out and worship the Lord. And listen, hey, this is one city you're going to.
You know, we travel all over the world. People travel, oh, I want to go here. I want to see this. I want to go here. I want to see that. Hey, listen, get your travel brochure out. This is your travel brochure, right? Think about, hey, here's a, Nano, wake up. Here's a good one. I love Nano. But Nano's always looking for new lines to tell people about the Lord, right? Nano, here's a good one, your travel brochure. Where's your destination? Right? Here it is. Revelation 21 and 22. Jesus said, I'm making all things new. And he goes on to describe it. He goes on to describe it. I mean, you read down through and man, you're going to walk on a street of gold. Think about it. You have never done that, right? Just read Revelation 21 this afternoon and then come down to chapter 22, right? And we'll see him, we'll be with him, we'll serve him, we'll reign, we'll live with him. Because what did Paul say to the Thessalonians? We're going to live with him forever. And Jesus said, hey, this is what it's going to be like. God said, this is what it's going to be like. Look at verse 6. And he said unto me, these sayings are faithful and true. And the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel to show unto his servants the things which must shortly be done. And God says, and it's getting close. Man, we know that, don't we? It's getting close. But listen, we're going to heaven. And then there's coming a day where God's going to make a new heaven, a new earth, a new holy city, a new Jerusalem. We're going to be there. Right? We're going to be there. So you come down to verse number 22. So listen, God wants you to think about it. Jesus wants you to think about it. The Bible wants you to think about it. Can I just be very blunt? We'd be dumb not to think about it. Right?
Amen.
We would. God says, I want you to think about it. Jesus, I want you to think about it. The Bible says, listen, the last two chapters are all about it. And if your name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life, God says, it's going to happen, and it's getting quick. It's getting close. And that's why, look at verse 20. He which testifieth these things, saith, surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so come, Lord Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. And so listen, folks. Listen. Do you want your life to change? Stop thinking about the mess of this world and start thinking about the future. Amen. Because you know what? You get your thoughts down here, there isn't any future. But you get your thoughts up there, and man, there's a future. I mean, there's a future in heaven and beyond in eternity. Man, it just, you start thinking about it, and I'll tell you what, it gets you wound up, right? Got me wound up. But man, you just, I mean, just start thinking about it. Every way, shape, and form. Think about the city. Think about the new heaven, new earth. You start thinking about, you know, nature. Everywhere you look, everything you think about, everything you think about down here, just think about it. How much better it's going to be in heaven if your name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Because if you haven't trusted Jesus Christ, your Savior, it's not for you. Heaven is not a default destination. Heaven is a glorious destination only by the grace of God through Jesus Christ. But I'm going, and I hope you are too. Let's pray.